This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Hello, this is Kevin Harris, and you're listening to the weekly radio program, The Invisible War. Today, we have a special program, and you'll want to pay close attention to the subject matter. So much of what we've been talking about leads to this topic today, that is, revival and spiritual warfare. We have in the studio with us once again, Dr. Rob Randall, our host and teacher of the Invisible War radio program. Dr. Randall's teaching is taken each week from his book by the same title, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy, published by 21st Century Press. Now, you will want to get this valuable Bible-based study on spiritual warfare by visiting our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or you can order your copy of The Invisible War at your local Christian bookstore. And if you've missed any of Dr. Randall's teaching on spiritual warfare, you can go to our website and click on the broadcast button and download any and all programs of the Invisible War radio ministry for free. Dr. Randall, welcome. And there are a few of us who are as qualified to discuss the subject of revival as you, being that you're a third generation evangelist.
Kevin, so good to see you again. What a privilege we have today to focus our hearts on the eternal things of heaven. Next year, it will have been 40 years since I was licensed to the gospel ministry as a young preacher boy. Boy, it doesn't seem that long ago, but it has been. And like my grandfather and father before me, I have spent over 30 years as a vocational itinerant evangelist. You know, we have talked much on the invisible war concerning the generational curses that come down through our family ancestry. However, it's not only the bad stuff that comes through our family line. There are great blessings that come to us when our forefathers decided to follow Jesus and obey Him. Our family has been serving churches and revival work for over 100 years. You know, Kevin, only God could do that. And to His wonderful name be all the glory.
Amen. Dr. Randall, let's start with some definitions. What is an evangelist? Now, aren't we all who know Christ, aren't we all supposed to do the work of an evangelist? As Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist?
Of course, all believers are to be what has been called soul winners. Now, that's a misnomer. We don't win anybody. It is the Holy Spirit that wins folks, but we are workers together with Him. All of us are to prioritize our lives so that we might be in a position to be used of God in reaching the lost for Christ. However, there is a biblical distinction between the work and the office of an evangelist, which is to say that the Bible is specific that there is an office within the body of Christ it calls the evangelist. In Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 13, we find these words, "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ."
Well, Dr. Randall, what is the difference between an evangelist and, let's say, a missionary?
Kevin, it is important for us to note that nowhere in the Bible do we find the word missionary. I want to say that again. The word missionary is not in the Bible. The concept is certainly there. But the word is simply not there. The biblical word is evangelist. The office of evangelist has been given to the church just like the office of a pastor for the building up of the saints to the glory of God.
Well, why do you think evangelists are not called on today by the church, Dr. Randall? In former days, you would hear of a lot of revival meetings led by evangelists and everybody was invited to come. You just don't see that as much anymore.
My, my. Some years ago, my wife and I had the privilege of attending the North American Conference for Itinerant Evangelists. This wonderful conference was held by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And in a question and answer time, Dr. Graham was asked this very question. He said that the word evangelist had come under great criticism because of the many so-called televangelists. That was a phrase that was coined during the time that so many had fallen into sin and had to forsake their ministries. Billy Graham further reminded us that none of these so-called televangelists were really evangelists. Each one was a pastor. They were not evangelists at all. But of course, the enemy has exploited the sins of a few to destroy the work of God in and through the church. And remember, sin is the avenue, the highway demons travel. Kevin, I also believe that the message of the evangelist, although less appreciated, is more needed today than ever. Let me explain. The evangelist's message has always been one that is not tied to the political pressures of his time. It is simply not politically correct to come into a church and call folks to repentance. You see, the pastor of the church is paid by that church. Simply put, the evangelist isn't. His message is an unfettered, fresh, and always timely message that has been desperately needed, and our day is no exception. The powerful message of the God-called evangelist is essential to the church if the church is to become all that our Lord intends for her to become.
Well, Dr. Randall, clarify something for us today. If the evangelist is about winning the lost, then why would his message be so important in the church? I mean, shouldn't he be out in the world sharing his message and not necessarily coming to our churches?
You know, Kevin, we cannot improve on God's strategy for the church given to us in the Scriptures. Again, in Ephesians 4, let me remind us, we find a list of these offices given by our Lord to His church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. The Lord is the one who has given these offices. Each of these offices have been given by our Lord to His church so that His will is done on the earth as it is in heaven. In the same way that the pastor has been given to the local church, the evangelist too has been given to the local church.
Let's look at a passage, Dr. Randall, and maybe you can give us some insight on what Paul says, that we are now the church and how we are related to other believers. And this passage is 1 Corinthians 12:27.
It is at this point we begin to understand more and more the importance of revival and the invisible war we are in with the powers of darkness. There is nothing that the enemy of our soul fears more than genuine revival in the body of Christ. You see, a true revival enables the church to reclaim everything the enemy has stolen. Our children, our possessions, our very lives have been so often stolen by the enemy. And all of this, the church itself, can be reclaimed for Christ through revival. Nothing is ever done for Christ outside His body. Just like we don't do anything outside our bodies, we live in what has been called the church age, or the age of grace. The Holy Spirit has now come to make His dwelling in our bodies. And in 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul says that you and I are now the church. We are the body of Christ. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies now are instruments by which the Lord accomplishes His purposes on earth as it is in heaven. So if the enemy can get us to compromise ourselves spiritually, the Holy Spirit will be grieved and quenched. You know what the word quenched means? It means to put out the fire, to put a damper on. The Holy Spirit, the very fire of God, can be quenched in our lives, and the will of our Heavenly Father is hindered.
Well, Dr. Randall, we need to get to the definition then of revival. You ask most people what a revival is, and they say, well, it's a meeting down at the church for about a week, and we have a guest preacher. What is revival?
Revival is to the church what rain is to a crop. Revival is to a life what rain is to a flower. Revival is the promise of rain. Our revival verse in 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. Verse 13 says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, then if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Kevin, the healing of the land is the literal promise of rain. John 4:14, here is the image of the Word of God. Out of his innermost belly will flow rivers of living water, those who follow Christ. And the very invitation of the Bible, Christ himself, the very last phrases of the New Testament in Revelation 22:17, he who is athirst, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Now, you know, that's not my image. That's the image of the Scripture. The presence of the Lord is the image of this wonderful cleansing power of rain. Just like the ground gets hard and parched, our hearts get hard and parched. We live in a hostile world. This is a tough place. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And just like that ground, to be fruitful needs the cleansing and refreshing of the rain, our hearts need the refreshing and cleansing of the revival rain, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revival is a time of purifying and cleansing. In Malachi 3, verse 2 and 3, listen to the Word of God. But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering, and here's the phrase, in righteousness. It's not about just making offerings to the Lord, but he wants our offerings to be made, our lives to be offered to him in righteousness. And the only way that that takes place is when he comes to wonderfully and marvelously, faithfully comes to cleanse us from our sin and disobedience. He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Everybody knows what it is to have a deep cleansing. Do you remember when you were first saved? I do. I remember that time. I was just a little feller. Here in the Fort Worth area, my father was pastor of a local church. And in that revival meeting, I shall never forget, God had me under his conviction of my sin. The Lord had been dealing with me concerning my sin for some time. My dad was a preacher. I understood the gospel. I understood the importance of heaven and hell and the seriousness of my sin, even as a little lad. And I remember on Easter Sunday morning, when the Lord said, trust me, give me your heart. And I did. I left my mama's side. I walked down that aisle of that church, and I gave my heart to the Lord. I wept, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept for hours, it seemed. Not because I was sad, but because the burden had been lifted. I knew now that my sins were covered. I was deeply cleaned. Do you remember how it was when you were first saved? That's what the Lord wants to do in your life today through revival. He comes to clean us as fuller soap and as a refiner's fire. The picture of the refiner's fire is that everything that is not the pure metal of silver and gold, everything that is not of Him, He wants to come and cleanse us and purify us and refine us so that that which is left is to His honor and His glory alone. Richard Owen Roberts, one of the great experts on revival, says that revival is the returning of God's people to Him and His Word. Revival is an extraordinary movement of the Holy Spirit producing extraordinary results. Here's my definition of revival, Kevin. Revival is a personal spiritual cleansing of God's people from their sin and disobedience, so the Holy Spirit will not be quenched or hindered in the demonstration through His people of His will as it is in heaven.
Well, help us understand, Dr. Randall, how each of us as believers are related to this movement of God we call revival.
Kevin, we are the church. You and I are the church. We are the called out ones of God. We are the body of Christ. We have been baptized as believers into the body of Christ. You and I are His body. I am the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27. You and I are either a catalyst for revival or we are a hindrance to revival. The battle for revival and spiritual awakening always begins in a time of personal, desperate prayer. James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You see, there is no corporate revival until there is individual revival. I believe that our country is being judged of God because the church has turned away from obeying God. Through the places of compromise and accommodation to what the Bible calls the vain philosophies of the world, the church has ceased to be an instrument by which our Lord is able to bring His will on earth as it is in heaven. Many of our churches are spiritually sick because we as believers are spiritually sick. Revival comes from our Heavenly Father when we repent of our sin and turn back to Him in obedience. The good news, Kevin, is God is merciful. His hand of mercy is brand new every day. And if we are to ever have revival in our land, in our country, we must first have revival in our homes, in the secret places, and in our hearts.
Dr. Randall, that's some good insight. Often we think we've got to get out there and reach all the people, which we do, but we forget that we need to first look at ourselves and we need to be responsible for our own families, which God has placed in our lives.
The Bible says that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Revival will never come from Washington, D.C. Revival comes from our secret places in our own hearts, if it is to come. Evan Roberts, the great evangelist that God so powerfully used in the Welsh revivals, said that there are four keys to receiving revival blessing. Number one, if there is past sins, hitherto unconfessed, we cannot receive the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must search and ask the Holy Spirit to search. Psalm 139:23-24. Would you hear this with your heart today? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If you want to see revival in your home, I want to encourage you, get your family together. Have a prayer meeting together. Read the scripture out loud. Ask that no other voice be heard but the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a pad and pen and pray this prayer. Search me, O God, each one of you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Show us, Lord. And when He begins to show it to you, write it down and confess it to one another. Humble yourselves before one another and before God and see what God will do in your life. The second thing Evan Roberts said to receive revival blessing, if there is anything doubtful in our lives, it must be removed. Anything we were uncertain about its rightness or wrongness, that thing must be removed. James 1:6-8, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Number three, an entire giving up of ourselves to the Spirit of Christ. We must speak and do all He requires of us. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You know, I've often wondered, Kevin, why would the New Testament writer use the image here of an old rum-dum drunk when he talks about being filled with the Spirit? Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's clear. You know, when someone is inebriated, that's a big word, when someone is drunk, the spirit of that alcohol has taken over that person. A person might be nice, but when he gets drunk, he wants to fight. He would never fight when he was sober, but now that he's drunk, he wants to fight and contend. Why? Because the spirit of that alcohol has taken over. In the same way that spirit of that alcohol takes over the personality of that person, the spirit of Almighty God is to take over our personality. We are to yield our lives to Him. We are to be filled with His Spirit. And number four, the public confession of Christ, Revelation 12:11. He says, Evans Roberts tells us that if we are to receive revival blessing, there must be a public confession of Christ. In Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." If we are to know revival, we must humble ourselves to a place where Christ and Christ alone means more to us than even ourselves.
Well, Dr. Randall, it seems that just about the time we're really getting going here, that our time runs out, so we need to pick this up next time on The Invisible War. I want to remind you that if you've missed any program of Dr. Randall's teaching on spiritual warfare, you can download for free any program or all the programs in the series of The Invisible War by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. And if you believe in the importance and timeliness of this message, your faithfully standing with us each week helps us bring the invisible war. Thank you for joining with us in prayer and financially as we take this life-changing truth to the many hurting and wounded. Thank you so much for your financial support for the invisible war. Please give as generous a gift as our Lord would lead you to give to this most important ministry of healing and cleansing. You can give your gift online, go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or call us toll-free 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. And we really look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much. Dr. Randall, you've given us a lot of great information, and we want to absorb it and digest it and take it to heart. Would you pray that we do that and pray for us as we close out our program today?
Thank you for the privilege of allowing me to lead us in prayer. The Bible says that as we draw near to the Lord, He will draw near to us. So let's draw near to Him in this moment. Father, thank you so much for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust you. And Lord, we call upon the name which is above every other name, the wonderful, precious, saving, cleansing name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in Him we have a right to be free. And Lord, I just ask you that you would enable us to go to the place where you are Lord of all. Take us to that place where we would willingly, gladly bow our knee and worship you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Cleanse our hearts today. Create in us a clean heart, O God. Lord, I ask that you would search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. Cleanse us, we pray. Bring us into a season of revival and cleansing for our good, but for your glory. And I pray it in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, if you've prayed with us today, we'd love to hear from you. Would you contact us, 1-877-808-8886. We would love to hear from you. Let us know how we can help you. Let us know how we can pray with you. I know these matters are private matters, but email us. You can visit our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. and you can contact us there. Let us know how we can pray for you. Remember, it was for freedom Christ came to set us free. Please, sweet friend, don't settle for anything less than the freedom Christ bought for you on Calvary through His precious blood. We look forward to next week, where we continue the study of God's Word from His heart to our hearts in the invisible war.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.